Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call for the Republic for the United States of America for Tuesday, November 14th, 2023, just a couple minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. I hope you're all well and staying warm. It's getting definitely chilly. We're getting towards wintertime here. We're going to have Dr. Mosley give us another presentation from the Laws of Life. But before we get started with that, does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Mark Binder. I could do that.
All right. You have the floor.
Thank you. Yahweh, God of our fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thank you for all the blessings we receive, both seen and invisible to us. Thank you for your word and the word made flesh that walked among us, who told us all things, took away the sin of the world by his sacrifice, and gave us power over all of our enemies in his mighty name. Help us be useful to those we represent by spreading your wisdom far and wide in this republic, because it's the right thing to do. Let truth and virtue abound tonight and always in this republic, because you can't have justice without truth. And the republic won't last long without virtuous, God-fearing leaders. Give us eyes that see and ears that hear your word and direct us so that we can be useful to you and restore our republic, yours and ours. Keep our military out of harm's way and protect them by the covenant in Psalms 91, as you have done throughout our history. Till the battle of Armageddon and Hamagod, when your father will fight the nations listed in Psalms 83, using supernatural forces including hailstones that weigh a talent. Help us to seek you, Father, in times of trouble and keep your word close at hand. Bring your glory and your presence to us, Father God. And so God save the Republic, God save the children, God save America, Canada, and the original nation of Israel. We pray this in the mighty name of Yeshua, our King, and our Lord and our Savior. Amen, and thank you, Father.
And let it be so.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessing list keeps on getting longer and longer, but that's okay. As we find out new information, it's always good to do that. So let me quickly run through the roll here, and then we'll get started here pretty quick. I'm going to start off with myself. Representative Rockwell is present tonight. Representative Reed.
Representative Reed from Nebraska is present. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Representative Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
All right. Thank you, sir. Representative Binder.
Iowa Free State Representative Mark Binder is present. Thank you.
All right. And Representative Cox, are you with us tonight?
Yes, Representative Robin Cox is present.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. It looks like we have five representatives tonight representing five states. And before I turn it over to Dr. Mosley tonight, I sent out a new calendar for next year of our days that we're going to be meeting. Did not receive any email back from anybody about any changes. We'll go ahead and at the end of the call discuss that if there are any changes and proceed. And if there are no changes, we'll go ahead and ratify that so we can have that set for next year's calendar for the times that we're going to meet. So just be prepared for that at the end of the call this evening. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and yield to Dr. Mosley for our teaching out of the Laws of Life tonight. Sir, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The laws of life. Laws govern everything in existence. And we're talking about the laws of God, those kingdom laws that we have been studying over the months. And we define our laws as an absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. We shared with you on previous occasions that the Spirit of God has revealed to us some 50 laws of life, not suggesting that that is all that there are, but those are the ones that have been assigned to me to develop, beginning in Genesis, tracing each of these laws of life throughout the Old Testament into and throughout the New Testament, establishing them as absolutes before they can be referred to as a law of life. And presently, we're dealing with the systems of the world versus the kingdom of God and how the laws of life apply to each of these respective systems. We've had some discussion regarding the economic system of the world and how it differs dramatically from the economic system of the kingdom. Likewise, the social system of the world, the political system of the world. And more recently, we've been discussing the educational system of the world and the fact that the educational system does not begin when a person, a young person, began school, but it begins in the home and in the womb. And we went through a number of laws of life that apply to a person even while in their mother's womb. Then we went to the educational system in the community. And you'll see, if you have not already, there's much overlap between the home and the community. And what we're about to get to tonight briefly would be the school, the educational system and the school. And I'm referring to primarily public schools, although we're not ignoring Christian schools and schools of other kind. But let's talk about the kingdom of God, the laws of life, and the world school system. But let's compare the world school system as to how it was certainly when I was growing up, and perhaps some of you. I recall the public school systems, and the first thing that would be done when we came in the door and sat on our chairs in the respective classrooms was to pray. It wasn't anything that was surprising that in each classroom that there was a devotional period wherein we began with prayer. Oftentimes, the teacher would assign a student during that class period, during the devotional period, to pray or lead the class in prayer. Oftentimes, it would be the Lord's Prayer, but it would be led by a student prayer in the classroom. Then the next thing we would do would be that we would sing Christian songs. I come to the garden alone. Yes, Jesus loves me. So forth and so on. In the classroom before school started. Then there was scripture read. A student would be assigned to read scripture in the classroom of a public school. And I suggest to each of us, the way it was done then certainly is the way it should be done now, but we know that it is not. Also, there was order in the school. Students were taught to walk on the right side of the hallway, headed in one direction, the right side headed in the opposite direction. That was order instilled and taught young people early on in public schools. Not only was there order, but clearly there was authority. And that's certainly an overlap from some of the other systems. But there was authority taught in the school. There was a respect for teachers during those years. There was certainly a respect for principals and assistant principals. And the last thing a student wanted to hear from a teacher was that I'm going to send you to the principal's office. Authority was respected in the schools, which was very much similar, if not, I won't say it's identical, but similar, I perceive, to how the schools have been conducted representing the kingdom of God. So again, authority was respected. I'm going to ask the question here, and also I'd like to remind us of what we've done over the last several sessions, is that we did not wait until I had finished the presentation for that evening, but anything that came to your mind that you wanted to share during that portion of my presentation, feel free to do so. So just interrupt me at any time you have something that you would want to bring to our attention that you recall took place when schools were run as they should be according to kingdom principles. I'd like to ask this question. What happened to the phrases, and this I'm using that term for lack of a better way to present it, but what happened to the phrases of yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, under authority? There was a time the 3 or 4 or 5, 8, 9, 10-year-old would not approach a 30, 40, 50, 60 plus, 7 or 8, or whatever the case may be, man or woman, and refer to them by their first name. It was always Miss, Mrs., or Mr. under the law of authority and respect. The law of imputation. Now, the question might be, how would that apply in the classroom? Well, imputation basically says that something I've done not only rests with me, but it is put on you also. Imputation. That's what happened with the sins that we have committed in our Lord and Savior on the cross. Dying through the law of imputation, our sins were imputed to him, but his righteousness was imputed to us. That concept has been carried through the ages, whether people realize it or not. There is a law of imputation, and it is at work in our daily lives. And it's not too early in a child's school career to cause them to understand that imputation, you may want to use another word to make the point, but imputation is still at work. What I do and what you do, if it is not the right thing to do, then it does not end with me. It's imputed to other people, other students, other people who are around me, other people who are close to me. Imputation. Children can understand imputation if it's explained properly. We're talking about kingdom teaching in the public schools. And certainly you would assume that this kind of teaching would take place in Christian schools. The law of sowing and reaping, we touch upon that in every system we talked about. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. That applies to the schools, it applies to students. There is a harvest. And children can understand that there is a harvest to flow from what is done. Do I hear a question or a comment? The law of sowing and reaping. The law of exaltation and abasement. If I recall correctly, in some classrooms, there would always be a student that always had the answers. Before the teacher or instructor could finish the question, that student's hand would go up to share that person's perception of what the answer ought to be. And there would come a time that the teacher, recognizing that that student was operating in self-exaltation, would, in a very quiet and private way, make that student aware that you ought to, from time to time, allow, although you may know the answer, from time to time, maybe you should allow someone else the opportunity. Because you don't want to put yourself in a position to always direct attention towards you, because that's pride. And the teacher may not explain it from the perspective that pride comes before destruction, and a heart of spirit before, and I can't even think of the last step, but some of you know it'll come to me in a minute. But that's what was taught. in a very simplistic way. Even the law of notice and warning was taught in the school system. How many of you remember fire drills? And you would go through fire drills on a regular basis to make certain that, and this was a warning drill, that if the fire alarm went off, you would know how to exit your seat, your classroom, exit the building, and how you were to be positioned a certain distance from the building. It was taught in elementary schools. Although they didn't perhaps consider it to be under the law of notice and warning, but that's what it comes under, the law of notice and warning. Now, based upon what is being left out of the school system, prayer, scripture, and Christian songs, now what are the young people in many schools are required to do? They're not going out necessarily for fire drills. They're going out for gun drills. Active shooter drills where kids now are being taught how to hide under their chairs and how to get into a room to lock it and try to hold the door so an active shooter could not get into. That's all as a result of us leaving God out of the classroom, out of the school system. What about courtesy? And courtesy certainly starts in the home, but it extends into the neighborhood and to the schools. Courtesy. I ask another question. What happened to the two words, excuse me? When one person walks across the path of another person, that's the polite thing to do, the courteous thing to do, and we were taught that, is to say, excuse me. What happened to the word please? You hardly hear it anymore. And even in, certainly in our school systems and in public schools, and probably you hardly hear it in Christian schools, just the word please. What about the word thank you or the words thank you? Hardly ever heard in many settings. The law of accountability and responsibility, that's an overlap from some of the other systems. But in the educational system, young people can be taught early on that they are accountable for their actions. The law of words, by your words, are you justified, or by your words, are you condemned? Certainly on a lower level in school, you would not perhaps present the scripture that way, but the substance of the scripture can be made clear to even a young person, school-age person, and certainly that should take place in the home. We talked about words and various other systems. We've talked about the gifts. And if there's ever a time when a child should be caused to recognize their special ability, their talent, or their spiritual gift, is early on in life. And I remember my years in elementary school, that teachers were keenly aware of the special abilities, talents, and the gifts that their students had. And they would nourish those gifts. They would call that student up oftentimes, and sometimes in front of the class and sometimes in private. They'll say to that child that there's something special about you in this particular area. You should spend more time in science or mathematics or whatever the case may be, in sports, because you're gifted in that regard, and you have no idea what a word of encouragement that would be or has been in the past for young people. We're talking about education. And education, yes, a schoolhouse setting is one way it comes, but it comes in so many other ways, which we've been touching upon over these last few sessions. Waste and want. When I was growing up, you were taught not to waste. You were taught not to throw away that which was worthwhile. You only threw away garbage, and you were careful in doing that. Now waste is It's a way of life. I remember my first job. I was still in elementary school. I had a job. Once I left the elementary school, there was a construction site, a building, I should say, in walking distance from the school. And my first job was as a janitor in that construction office. And I was expected to come in after class and clear the waste cans, sweep the floors, then straighten up the office. And I remember my salary during those days. It was $15 every 2 weeks. And I was very proud to be able to go to work and bring home $15 and pay my tithes at church and put something in my piggy bank and have a few dollars that I could put in my pocket. Just together with my parents, my dad always made certain that I had what I needed the other way. But we were taught to work. And we were taught to love our families and our schoolmates, people in our community. And all of that was part of the educational system. And there's so much more I could go into, but I'm sure you get the gist of what I'm saying. Let me go to another one very quick. We were taught how to dress. That's a thing of the past now. But we were taught how to dress appropriately for the situation. And now it's sort of whatever you want to wear, just wear it. However you want to wear it. However you want to look, just look it. We've gained a lot, but we've lost so much. The laws of life, the economic system of the world we've touched upon, the social system of the world, the political system of the world, and now we're in the educational system of the world as compared to kingdom education. With that, Mr. Speaker, I yield.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Mosley, for that. It's interesting when you were touching on the things that you remember in school. I remember doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Absolutely.
And that was one thing. And, of course, most of my school time, except for the first couple of years, I went to a Christian school. So reading the Bible, praying, having devotionals, we had chapels. That was just a matter of course. I don't remember that happening in the public school setting, but I was only in that setting for just a few years. So anyway, appreciate you bringing that up, and it kind of brings back some memories too, and how things have definitely changed to the present time for sure. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor for anybody with any questions or comments.
Yeah, this is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, first I'd like to say thank you for a really good presentation. I think you're very appropriate for this time right now, what's going on. And I also remember grades 1 through 4 starting the day with the Pledge of Allegiance. And with that, I yield.
All right, thank you. Anybody else?
This is Representative Robin Cox.
Good, Robin.
I went to a Christian school, and you know, we had a devotional period, and we also we studied the Bible as part of our school curriculum. We spent an hour of a day studying the Bible, and I remember we also recited the Pledge of Allegiance every day, and we prayed before school. Before classes started, and I really appreciated that part of it. And anyways, I really think that prayer and Bible reading, in addition to being restored to public school, we ought to dismantle the Department of Education and turn over the schools to the state, city, and county level. I yield.
All right. Anybody else?
This is Representative Mark Biner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this presentation tonight, Dr. Mosley. And I can also remember the Pledge of Allegiance, saying prayer in school. I don't remember Bible study. Maybe I was a little too young for Bible study in school. But I wasn't discouraged. I mean, that would be all right. I think also, besides not learning responsibility and reaping the fruits of your actions and stuff, as far as like a job or doing well in school or something like that. Lots of times this time and age, kids are just actually handed stuff to them. You know, they're kind of expected to just give stuff to them. You know, here's a car so you can drive to school and don't worry about working for it and stuff like that. It's been a slow progression to, I guess, irresponsibility, if you'd say, at least for the younger ones. They're not learning it at the young age, and so therefore they're not developing good habits and realizing you got to work for something if you want it. You know, it's more or less you got to wait for it. And also, I think the law of faith too, without Bible teaching in school and in prayer and that type of thing, that being discouraged nowadays and are not allowed, I think the law of faith has suffered quite a bit as well. And that's really a shame, because along with taking prayer out of school and along with taking Bible study out of school, there's less of a perspective of what the truth is, and there's less the pregnancies went way up, and as a result, the morality of the young ones has kind of fallen to the wayside. Like I said, pregnancies went way up, and it's a terrible shame, and I wish it would be reinstituted. And that's what I would like to do to help out. And Yield, thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. One thing I'll add to that, you know, the way kids are expecting all this stuff, they think they're entitled to all these things without having to work for them. And I think what Dr. Mosley was talking about is there was a work ethic in that, even in school, that is missing today. If you want to expound on that, Dr. Mosley, that would be fine.
Well, I think you touched upon it to the extent that perhaps needs be, but there is a work ethic that we were taught, and it's something that's much needed today. And what has happened, as you were touching base on, Mr. Speaker, is that we've all almost developed a culture of entitlement. And we were taught that everybody in a household, I'm going from the school to back to the household, but I'm sure many of us can remember a time that every child in that house, once they reached a certain age, had a chore. They had something that they were assigned to do and accountable and responsible for doing. And likewise, in the school system, in the public schools during those days, there were children or students assigned to perform certain tasks in the school other than their scholastic work. There was somebody assigned to clean the board, somebody assigned to clean out the erasers, which I guess we don't have anymore in school, somebody assigned to do other little chores around the school, and the students accepted those chores and expected to do a quality job therein. And so much has just pretty much evaporated over the years. And it's sad that young people now, in many instances, are being robbed of an opportunity to develop in these areas because it's not required of them. And there's a law of accountability and responsibility for those of us, and I'm sure everyone on this call has done or is doing all they can to be accountable for the education that we bring forth to those who are looking to us. But unfortunately, I'm somewhat off base when I say this, but nevertheless it's the case, parenting has almost come to be a thing of the past. How many of you have seen a young mother or a young father walking along in a very busy area, in a parking area, maybe a grocery store, department store, and the parent has no idea what the child is? They're not holding the child's hand. The child is just floating along out there between cars. And when you look at this expression on that parent's face, they are totally oblivious to the fact that somebody could grab the child up and run off with the child, a car could run over the child. And even the concept of being a responsible parent is almost a thing of the past. And it said, I yield, Mr. Speaker.
All right. Thank you, sir. I guess I touched on something there to get you wound up a little bit.
Yes, you did.
I'll wind myself up a little bit when you were talking about, you know, the parent not knowing where the child is. Just anybody, when you're walking down the street or in a mall or in a restaurant or whatever, watch people have children, et cetera, and what are they doing mostly? And this is, I know, a characterization.
Phone.
They're on their phone.
Yeah.
They got their nose in the phone. And I'm thinking, how in the world can you see what you're doing when you've got your nose in that phone? But anyway, that's kind of you get me started on that, I probably could go for quite a while. So I won't go very far on that one. Anybody else with any questions or comments?
How does Representative David Schmidt request the floor again?
Yes, you have the floor.
Well, I do agree with a lot of that stuff. And, well, the only thing is, current job, I'm working in a plastics factory for the past 10 and a half years, and I've seen a lot with the younger employees. You know, most of them don't stick around too long at all. I mean, this has got no... So I'm seeing it right there. And some of them, you know, we hire them through temp services, and they're scheduled to start working on a specific day. They don't even bother showing up. They don't call in. Basically, they don't call, don't show, and they don't even show up. You know, we've had a lot of that going on, and especially when you're trying to train some of these younger employees, and it's the idea. You literally almost have to use a cattle prod to get them moving, literally. You know, I mean, it's just that bad sometimes. And I know that there because I've had to train some of these people in, and it's just not fun. And with that, I yield.
All right. Thank you, sir. I can tell this is a good subject, probably needing to spend another week or two on it.
Yes, we could.
It's definitely hitting a chord with most of the people on the call tonight. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
This reps on Mark Miner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
I just want to say that there's plenty of examples in the Bible, too, about a nation or nations that they fall on the wayside. You know, they stop worshiping God. They find other distracted things to do, usually the anti-God type things. And then, of course, punishment comes around. What you sow is what you reap. And so the only problem is that I think God's trying to wake up the whole world a little at a time. And so I guess stay frosty, my friends. I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
This is Representative Reed from Nebraska. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. You know, Omaha, Nebraska is in the middle of the country. And I'm going to tell you, I see, I eat out, I'm retired, and I eat out at a Chinese restaurant a couple of times a week. And first of all, a lot of Chinese parents are there. They definitely keep track of their children. And most people that have children that they may not be Chinese, but all kinds of ethnicities. Everybody keeps track of their kids. And when you're crossing a person's path, most people, including me, say, excuse me. I actually wait because I walk with a cane, and it's just easier for me to let people pass, and then I'll go. And so it's kind of refreshing, but it's the way it is. And so and years ago, about 20 years ago or so, in Omaha, there were a lot of kids disappearing. And that was a bad deal. There were some kids killed. And so people started taking care of their kids. So I'm sorry, I'm just saying that that also happens. And so I yield.
All right, thank you, sir. Maybe some of where you're at in the middle of the country will spread east and westward, north and southward, where it will be that way throughout the whole country, which would be a good thing.
Amen.
I think
anybody
so.
Else with any questions or comments?
Well, this is Representative David Schmidt. Representative Reed touches upon children disappearing. Well, I'm going to bring a bigger subject to it. Over 1,500 children in this country are kidnapped every single day for purposes of child trafficking. I thought I'd bring that in. That's very, very important. So you don't know where and one thing I've studied, I've known about child trafficking since 1977. So I've studied some of this stuff, done a lot of studying and stuff that there. And a lot of these child traffickers are very well organized, and they work with pinpoint precision, and they'll follow a child, stalk a child, watch a child's habits, walking habits, whatever, and they'll find the area where the child is all by him or herself. And then that's where they make the kidnapping. They make the kidnappings where there's zero witnesses. So I'm going to bring that. I think we need to get that forward as well, because as far as I'm concerned, not enough is being discussed about it. You know, everybody's trying to cover it up. Of course, another thing that leads all the way up to the highest level of government, even including the corporate actor in the White House right now, Joe Biden, whom I've known about him being a child trafficking pedophile for 25 years. And with that, a yield.
All right.
This is Representative Robin Cox.
Yes, you have the floor.
there is a movie that I watched when it was in the theaters. It was called The Sound of Freedom. You can buy it online as a DVD. And I can send the link to Speaker Rockwell, and he could spread it out to anybody who's interested. But this is a story about a former a government agent who was interested in stopping the child trafficking, and he lost a child of his own, and he had to find this child, and it just exposes the evils of child trafficking. You ought to watch The Sound of Freedom. I yield.
All right, thank you, ma'am. Go ahead and send that to me, the link, and I'll disperse that to anybody that wants it. So I've seen pieces of it, so I know what it's about, too. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Representative David Schmidt. Yeah, I got to see it in the theater on the first day on July 4th. So. And the real great thing about that there is when it starts getting into the credits, watch it all the way through, because you'll see a timer and it says special announcement, and it'll time like 5 minutes, count it down. And Jim Caviezel, the star in that there, he gives a special announcement. And he tells everybody gives a whole ton of details about child trafficking in that there. And I was in it there, in a theater that there. I figured there was maybe going to be maybe 10, 15 people in the theater room. The theater was three quarters full. And the other thing there, when Jim Caviezel got done with the announcement, everybody in the theater started clapping. Now, something that I've never seen before. And one thing there, I think, was it? I think the North America, I think that it's like 250 some million dollars, I think it was, gross, just in North America. And with that, a yield.
All right. Thank you very much. Interesting comments. Appreciate it. Anybody else? All right. If you want to go ahead and exit, Dr. Mosley, feel free to do that. We'll go ahead and do a little business here before we close up. And I know that you're several hours ahead of me, so if you need to exit, feel free to go ahead and do that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate it.
All right. Blessings. All right. I want to go ahead and open up the floor for any discussion about the schedule that I sent out several weeks ago for 2024. So I'll open the floor on that if there is any comments about it.
This is Representative David Schmidt. Request on the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
About the only thing I noticed on it was 12/31/2023, just a minor quick fix to make it 2024. Other than that, it looks good to me.
All right. Like I said, I went over this many times, and that was one that I missed, so I fixed it. So I have it here in front of me. So anybody else have any comments about
this? Is Representative Robin Cox. I have a question.
Yes.
Speaker Rockwell, I don't think I ever got the email from you.
Let me make sure that I have your correct email here real fast. Go here. I'll send it to you. So I had a new email for you, I think, that you gave to me.
Ann.fireball@gmail.com.
Let's see here. Yep, that's the one that I have. I'll send it to you again.
Okay.
And you can look it over. And if there will, you know, we have a few more sessions that we can, you know, discuss it as. Yeah, okay. I'll get that to you. Anybody else have any questions or comments about it?
This is Representative Mark Miner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thanks. I see all the normal holidays we usually take off, New Year's, Passover, Memorial Day, Pentecost, Independence Day, Labor Day, Tabernacles, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then New Year's again. So that should probably be 2025, actually. Or not even on this calendar, anyway. But either way, I'm fully supportive of it, and I don't have a problem with it at all. I think that those are the great holidays to take off. And I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Okay, if not, let's see, I don't know why that opened up. If not, we'll kind of table it for now so Representative Cox can take a peek at it. Let me do one more thing here. Let's see, that's that one there. And what I'll do is I will go ahead and send. Okay, good. Come on. Edit. There we go. Nope, that's not what I wanted to do. All right, it moved around again, but it's okay. There we go. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and send it to you real quick here. Do you wish me to send it via phone or the email?
Email's fine.
Okay. I'll send it to you here right now. Okay. Okay, it'll just be a blank email with just a schedule on it, and then we can discuss it next time we meet, for everybody to be able to go over it. So the only thing that I changed, I won't, is everybody should know that I changed that last date that Representative Schmidt talked about. Instead of 23, it will be 24. So you can just make a correction on your copy. And once we finalize it, I'll send the final one out with that correction on it. I just figure that's kind of a minor thing now. So anyway, that's where we sit now. Anybody have any closing comments for tonight?
I liked the actor discussion that we had. Hey,
yes, it was good. Anybody else have any closing comments for tonight?
Yeah, this is Representative David Schmidt. And I don't know if all of you are aware of it, but yeah, there was a major meeting down at Tim Turner's house down in Alabama. I think Justice Waters is down there. I know Governor Carpenter from Colorado was down there, and I have no idea what the meeting is about, but it had something major to do with the Republic. I just thought I'd bring that out. You know, might be getting details fairly shortly on that. So with that, a yield.
Yeah, I was aware of that too. I don't know what was discussed. I caught little pieces of it, but again, it was at the opposite end of the country for me. So
yeah, that's true.
Wouldn't have been simple to come. But yeah, I heard the same thing. So we will see. Anybody else have any closing comments? All right. If not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight, if somebody would like to do that.
Yes, this is Representative Robin Cox. I would like to make a motion that we adjourn for tonight and reconvene on Tuesday night, the 28th of November, at 8 o'clock Central Time. I yield.
This is Representative David Schmidt seconding the motion to adjourn. With that, a yield.
All right, we got a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight, and it's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed? All right, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned for tonight. And before we go, does somebody want to close us in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I would.
All right, you have the floor.
Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this this meeting with the legislative call we had. Lord, I ask that I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the Republic for the United States of America. I pray your angelic hedge of protection around this republic, Lord God. And Lord, I ask that you would, Lord, continue to send your angels to fight the terrorists wherever they are all over the globe. Fight Hamas and Hezbollah. Lord, that you would confound their strategies, their plans, and that you would confound their activities, that you would crush them, Lord God. Crush them in Israel. Crush them in the United States. Crush Antifa and BLM and all the other terrorist groups in our country and wherever they are all over the world, Lord, that you would fight against those terrorists, Lord. And I pray your blood of Jesus Christ over our country. And, Lord, that you would protect our country and protect the patriots of our country. And, Lord, I ask you to keep us safe and bring us back safely to the legislative call on the 28th of November. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right. Let it be so. All right. Everybody have a blessed couple of weeks, and we'll see you in a couple.
See you in a couple.
Yep. Gobble till you wobble.
Yeah. Everybody, blessings.